Sustainable Idaho is a collaboration between the Portneuf Resource Council and the ISU Sustainability Club.
Welcome to Sustainable Idaho, the show where we explore the economic, societal, and environmental implications of sustainability within Idaho. The following recording is a presentation titled Keeping Our Aquifer Safe. The presentation was made for the New Knowledge Adventures Program for the Idaho State University's Continuing Education for Senior Citizens program. The instructors are Sue Skinner, a retired EPA officer, Shannon Ansley, a hydrologist for the Shoshone-Bannock tribes, and Tamsung Macbeth, a hydrologist for CDM Smith, a contractor working on the Fort Hall mine landfill. This information is provided to complement Sustainable Idaho's series on the Fort Hall mine landfill groundwater contamination.
Okay. So thank you, Shannon. I appreciate that introduction, and I'm pleased to be with you all today to give you an update on our groundwater program that we've been working on the last couple of years for Bannock County. There we go. So the focus of the talk today is really going to be the impact of some of the historical operations of the Cell 1 area at the Fort Hall Mine landfill. And you can see the footprint of that here. As Shannon said, the landfill is adjacent to the Portneuf Gap, sort of on the south side of the valley. You can see looking up here, this is Pocatello. Most people, I think, are probably familiar with where the landfill is. It's important to recognize that the landfill has actually been operated for a very long period of time, starting in 1943. It was actually operated privately for about 30 years. In 1973, the city of Pocatello bought the landfill, and then they ultimately transferred the landfill operation to Bannock County when the state of Idaho passed laws that said landfills had to be managed by counties. So since 1979, Bannock County has operated the landfill. And in the early 90s, 91, groundwater contamination was discovered in the municipal supply for Pocatello. So subsequent to that, Bannock County closed this Cell 1 area and it installed a pump and treat system in 2002 to try to extract and treat the contaminated groundwater and mitigate the release of chemicals into the Portneuf Valley Aquifer. Idaho Department of Environmental Quality has issued a series of consent orders, the latest one in 2016, to address essentially some deficiencies that they recognized in the operation of that pump and treat system. It really wasn't having the effect that they wanted. And so in 2018, Bannock County really implemented a revised groundwater program. They hired CDM Smith to kind of take over the program. And we've been working the last couple of years to try to figure out what's going on and how to fix it. So I'm going to briefly go through this because we're going to go through some details in a video that I'm going to show. But one thing that's important to understand really is the magnitude of the issue that we're dealing with. Over the course of that about 50 years of operation, 1.5 million tons of waste were really put into the Cell 1 area. So you can see that the yellow outline here is the Cell 1. The Cell 1 area is 69 acres in size. And represents 3 to 4 million cubic yards of waste. The thickness of that waste, you can see here, this is a cross section of the waste area. It's about 85 feet thick. When they closed the Cell 1, they did it by capping the waste area with a 30-inch barrier with the idea to really try to prevent infiltration and water from percolating down through that waste area. Because again, this area when they deposited the waste, it's not lined. So what's happening now is all that waste is leaching chemicals from the bottom of those waste areas into groundwater. And you can kind of see that in the cross section. That cap was intended to eliminate about 90% of precipitation to prevent that infiltration. So Bannock County is working with Idaho Department of Environmental Quality under the consent order to mitigate this leaching and prevent, again, the discharge of these chemicals from going into the lower Portneuf Valley Aquifer. So one thing I want to go through in detail with this group this year is, you know, many of us have been dealing with COVID. Normally, Bannock County communicates with the public through a series of initiatives that include public meetings. Because of COVID this year, we could not hold an in-person public meeting. And so what we've done is we've built a public virtual meeting room. And I'll walk you through that here. And so this is available to everybody. Here's the link, and I'll provide the link so that Shannon and Sue can distribute it to the meeting members. It's also on Bannock County's website. There's a link to get into this virtual room. And so I want to show you this. Essentially, when you come into this virtual meeting room, you can use your mouse and scroll through. And what we've done is kind of design this to have a look and feel like a public meeting. We've put things like these posters that provide information about the remedy timeline, like this for the site, that give you the site history, that give you what we've done and what we're planning to do for future activities. You can go to this one, which is just a summary. So it's kind of a poster style. You know, if you come to these public meetings, a lot of times there's posters and information. So this poster is all about the groundwater contamination, showing that cell one area. We've got videos, and I'm going to actually show you the video here shortly that we've put on here that provides kind of a history and a status of the groundwater plume. We have a poster on the risk assessment and risks, kind of the risk pathways, how chemicals, you know, leach from the landfill, how they migrate in groundwater, and what the pathways are for those chemicals to reach receptors, residents, potable water wells, environmental receptors, drinking water. And so this goes through all the risks. We did do a risk assessment in 2020. And so you can walk through what those current human health and environmental risks from these impacts are. And then we have maybe most importantly, these links. So we've got this comment link. Essentially, we really want to get public input into our project, into the status of our project. So this website includes a place that you can come here and submit your public comments. So I get these comments, I get notices. You know, if you submit comments, you can say how you want responses. Do you want email? Do you want phone? You can also submit your contact information, and we are compiling a mailing list, both either email or phone or through regular mail, however you would prefer, so that as we get new information, post new information, update the website, you will be notified and you will be included in our stakeholder group for all communications on progress of this project. So please go into the website, sign up, get on our mailing list. You know, we want your involvement, we want your comments and your participation in this. This is certainly a project that affects us all. I do want to go ahead and now talk about, now that you're all, of course, going to join our stakeholder group, so get on our link and submit what we're really doing, what we've done this last year, and what we're planning to do in 2021 to address this issue. So again, we have this remediation system that's in the Fort Hall Canyon. These brown locations are the remediation extraction wells. There's been a number of wells installed since 2002. And this last year, we did a substantial amount of work really upgrading the system. The system's very antiquated now. It's nearly 20 years old. So we had to, do some upgrades. We've got a new communication and telemetry system. We had to do well rehabilitation, install new extraction wells. We did a lot of improvements just to the infrastructure of the system. Those improvements have increased the capacity. The system was extracting about 23 GPM. We're now getting closer to 40 GPM, which should help improve, at least in part, some of the performance. Those system upgrades occurred over the summer and early fall this year. So we're hopeful to start to see some improvements to some of those downgradient concentrations. In 2021, Bannock County is going to continue the groundwater monitoring program. We sample a variety of wells, both on the landfill property and also off property. We sample down gradient, sample monitor wells. We also sample, you can see here, all the RW wells. Those are private potable water wells. These are wells people are using for potable water, for irrigation, and in some cases as their primary drinking water supply. So we sample those wells to evaluate the transport of the plume within the Portneuf Valley Aquifer and to verify that impacted wells and those stakeholders are being protected. This is, again, is just the plan view map that was shown in the video of the current extent of the TCE contaminant plume migrating in the Portneuf Valley Aquifer. Right now, we do have several of those private wells that are impacted. This sort of shows globally, again, the TCE plume and then those down gradient wells. And of note here really are the little boxes around the different well points. So Bannock County's been collecting groundwater data for about 20 years, and we've done trend analysis to determine if those concentrations are increasing, which are red boxes, decreasing, which are all the green boxes, or kind of staying the same, which is those kind of tan boxes. So for the most part, most wells are either decreasing or at least stable and that they're not increasing. This shows those potable wells. Again, the ones in red are potable wells that have concentrations of TCE that exceed that drinking water standard. So we still do have residents that are impacted. In nearly all cases, those residents are connected to the city of Pocatello water supply, and so their risks are being mitigated because they're using the municipal water rather than their potable wells for drinking water. So in all, about 9 domestic wells exceeded the screening levels for drinking water. And again, all of those properties except for one are connected to the city water supply. This last year, we also evaluated potential for vapor intrusion and are continuing to evaluate risks to receptors. We're also conducting and have conducted a lot of characterization activities to understand some of those complexities of how chemicals are migrating. We have to understand the problem before we can fix it. So that's what we've been working on. One of the things that we're really looking at is how well that cell one cap, again, we've got the cell one area, there's that 30-inch cap, and we are really verifying that that cap is actually meeting its design specifications to prevent that 90% of infiltration. So we've got lysimeters and we're evaluating soil moisture and infiltration through that cap, and we're getting those data this year. We also have implemented a series of investigations where we're We've mobilized drill rigs and we've drilled a number of borings kind of across that Fort Hall Canyon to better delineate the contaminant plume, to characterize the geology and the properties of the geologic formation, to understand how groundwater is migrating through that transect, and to better evaluate how chemicals are migrating. We're also doing a number of hydraulic assessments and modeling. The video showed, you know, the output of that hydraulic model. We're working to improve that so we can use it as a tool to optimize the remediation system. Ultimately, we're going to be looking at a lot of different options for how we can improve the system to capture those contaminants before they go to the Portneuf Valley Aquifer. So our really data quality objectives, what we're working towards is that better understanding of those geologic characteristics, the hydrogeologic characteristics, and the groundwater flow pathways. One of the kind of innovative tools that we've implemented are a series of techniques called borehole geophysics. Essentially, these are tools that you can deploy down either boreholes or monitoring wells. One of the technologies we employ is called nuclear magnetic resonance technology, or NMR. It's essentially an MRI. So if you've ever gone to the hospital, if you've ever gotten an MRI, it's the same technology, but now we can do MRIs of the subsurface, and it's really good at quantifying where water is present and what the properties of the formation are conveying the water, so that we can look at is water moving? Is it stagnant? Or is it perched in this case? So that's providing some very, very useful information to help us improve our conceptual site model and ultimately, again, develop a more robust groundwater model that can really represent the system that we're trying to understand so we can improve the remediation system. So we're still working on this conceptual site model refinement to understand nature and extent of contamination, get some better information about the hydraulic properties of the system, and also understand how chemicals are degrading within the system. It's important to understand that these chemicals do degrade. They degrade naturally with natural bacteria, but they only degrade under certain circumstances. And so we are also working to really define how those chemicals are degrading, where they're degrading, and where they're not degrading. And we'll use that to also decide how best to improve the remedial system. So this next year, now we're currently working on updating our conceptual site model and 3D modeling. We're getting these Cell 1 CAP data. We're also evaluating through the spring and through the snow melt, things like stormwater and surface water infiltration, understanding the recharge. Shannon talked a lot about that. She showed that diagram of all the recharge areas and the contributions of the different recharge areas to our aquifer. We're going to quantify that. One of the things you'll notice is that that evaluation didn't include Fort Hall Canyon. So we're getting and quantifying those recharge rates for Fort Hall Canyon. We're going to do some additional characterization with additional borings, write a report, and then ultimately assess remedial alternatives. And this is what everybody wants. You know, the system is not working. It's not containing the plume. We're going to improve that. And that includes, once we have this good conceptual site model, looking at things like, can we install more extraction wells? Where do we install those extraction wells? We're going to look at options for trenching, for things called funnel and gate or hydraulic fracturing to really expand and improve the ability of the system to capture contaminants, capture the plume, and prevent it from migrating to the Portneuf Valley Aquifer. So we've started some of those evaluations already. One of the components that we're working on right now is to really prevent, again, this surface hydrology and infiltration, both from the Cell 1 area and looking at the cap, but also there is Fort Hall Canyon Creek, which migrates adjacent to the Cell 1 area. One of the things that we evaluated this year was infiltration of that surface water, the water migrating through that creek into the subsurface, because it's doing it adjacent to the waste area. So if you have water that's migrating into the subsurface, it could potentially be migrating through this waste area and leaching those chemicals out of the waste. So we are, as part of the mitigating that concern, already working on ways that we can line or engineer a liner for this creek to really prevent that infiltration so that we don't have water migrating through those waste areas. So we expect to complete that this year as well. So I know I've gone through a lot of information. It's probably been a little bit of a firestorm, but be happy to take any questions at this point.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, okay. Trent.
Yeah. So the question that I have is, with the large development out on the north end of Pocatello, where Pocatello and Chubbuck intersect, are people still going to drag their waste clear down to the south end and dump it uphill from our water? Or is there any plan to do a landfill further out on the plain where it doesn't go right through Pocatello?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, I think now in hindsight, we can sort of see that this, you know, perhaps wasn't the best location for a landfill, given that it's up gradient of all our municipal supply wells. Right now, however, there isn't a good alternative location identified. And so Bannock County is actually expanding the landfill here. There's a whole series of expansions planned, and you can see some of that indicated with some of these. Let me see if I can find a better plan view map. So the short answer is no. Right now the plan is to continue to develop this landfill, to expand the landfill. However, you know, the way Bannock County is doing that now is much more robust and compliant to ensure that future waste does not leach to groundwater. So one of the benefits of the new areas is that, one, as you move up the hillside, the percentage of very low conductivity surface soils like loess are greater. That loess is much, much thicker. So just naturally, is a lot more lower conductivity. In addition, the Bannock County is engineering both sort of the subsurface, doing a lot of geotechnical work in the base of those waste deposition areas, installing things like clay and a geosynthetic liner to collect the leachate from those waste areas and manage it to really ensure that leachate is not migrating into the subsurface, to manage the leachate and to develop a plan to manage it in the foreseeable future. So we don't anticipate, based on the current operations, for those future operations to impact the water supply. However, that, doesn't really help for the Cell 1 area, given that that's already an issue. So Bannock County once a month actually has their hazardous waste day. I think it's usually the first Saturday of the month that they have most of the year. So you can go up there, go into the landfill office, and there's this Quonset hut. They usually have it set up, in the big kind of warehouse area, and you can actually bring all your hazardous waste, like batteries and paint and, you know, stripper, you know, whatever you have that you really shouldn't be putting down your sink, and they will collect it and they will manage it for you. So it's a really great program for things that you're not sure you think might be hazardous waste and you're not sure what to do with it. That's a really great time to come to the landfill and bring those materials.
And this is Sue. I might add that that's usually during the summer months. So I think it starts in April is when that program starts. So and it's really an amazing program. The other places I've lived, they do not have a program like this. And for a community this size, it is phenomenal. And we should definitely take advantage of that here out at Bannock County.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very unusual. It's a great program.
So Tamsin, maybe I can ask a question while people are thinking as well. Is so the TCE plume is now only within a mile, and it hugs the western side of the valley. But it's only about a mile long now.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Now, that being said, one of the things that we are also balancing, and we're working a lot with the city of Pocatello, because one of the things that happened is that two of the city's municipal supply wells that are the closest to the landfill actually ended up getting shut down because they had concentrations of TCE that exceeded MCLs. So the city is not operating those wells currently, but they are most definitely interested in operating them in the future. Particularly, all the growth, we're seeing all the growth. Someone mentioned the Northgate, extension. I mean, really, Pocatello is projected to grow. Our need for our water is going to continue to increase as, our population expands, our developments expand. And so ultimately the city wants restoration of that water source. So of course these big municipal supply wells pump, millions of gallons. I mean, they're huge wells. And so they certainly have a very substantive impact, right, on drawing water. So one of the things that we're doing really is building our model to account for that, to ensure that, mitigating that contaminant flux, will account for that potential future use and that pumping system that the city will eventually want to bring back online.
I have another question. So the inflow from through the Portnoy Gap on that early model showed a very small contribution to the total aquifer.
Yeah.
When there is flooding in the spring out in Income, does that increase that substantially, or is that end up leaching into the groundwater in that canyon and not coming down into the Portnoy?
Yeah, so that's actually the contribution. It was like the 1.1, I think, million gallons per day coming through the gap from Income. So that's almost entirely from the plain, Income plain, and kind of what's coming through the gap in the valley into the PVA. The Fort Hall Canyon actually does not... the contribution of Fort Hall Canyon, so in John Wellhand with the USGS who did that water balance, he estimated that the contribution from Fort Hall Canyon was so small as to be insignificant in the, in the case or in the realm of that total water balance. So, he was looking at the contribution from Income at about 1.1 million gallons per day, the total kind of water balance, something like 10 million gallons per day. the contribution of water from Fort Hall Canyon, from this little watershed here, is on the order of about 0.1 or less million gallons per day. So in terms of the water balance, it's not a huge volume of water from just a water perspective. However, the issue really is that the chemicals that are leaching have very low MCLs. You know, the maximum contaminant level for TCE and PCE in drinking water is 5 parts per billion. So even though that the total volume of water is low, it doesn't take very much of these chemicals to really affect that much, much larger volume of water migrating through the Portneuf Valley Aquifer and bump those concentrations up over levels that are not safe. So that's what we're really looking at, is how much, you know, of that total load needs to be reduced so that we can really ensure those concentrations don't exceed those drinking water standards. So there's sort of two things, right? One is the water balance. Where's the water coming from? What's the volume of water? And then two is, what's the chemical loading?